Welcome to The Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're an industry pro, you're building, or you're buying, we got you covered here at The Home Building Hero. We're coming to you live today from the LP Studios here in Wisconsin. I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you for tuning in today. Today, we're talking about the staggering discrepancy in pricing between new and existing homes. So recently, I listed an existing home. As you guys know, I am a home builder. I mainly focus on building new homes. I build subdivisions. I do some real estate, but the bulk of my work is in the new construction field, both single-family homes and condos. However, recently I listed a home for a family member, an older home. And, you know, I've talked in the past about, that there's a discrepancy or a gap between new and existing home prices. And I've also, kind of mentioned that, when you get to certain price points, like when you're under, in my market here in Wisconsin, under a $400,000 price point, there's a lot more buyers and a lot more activity in that price point. Whereas when you get into the new construction market, which is pretty much $600,000 and up, there's just way less buyers, way less activity. And, I've seen the data. I know this. I've experienced it. I've read through it. But to physically list a home, this home was listed under $300,000. I'll talk about it more in a sec. But the staggering amount of activity and people getting in on this house was just absolutely mind-boggling and very interesting to me to actually experience it firsthand and work through it. So basically what happened is I had a house in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, which is in Milwaukee County. It's kind of on the western end of Milwaukee County. It borders Brookfield to the west, which is a very higher end commercial residential area of Waukesha County. And it's an old 1950s ranch, pretty typical of that time. It's a rectangle. It had an attached garage, but three-bedroom ranch, kind of the L-shaped family room, dining room, kitchen setup that's very popular around that time. Small bedrooms, one of them is a 9 by 10 bedroom. Rectangular yard. House is pretty close to the road, that kind of thing. And, I looked at the comps and everything and decided to list it at $265,900 for this house. And, I looked at MLS and stuff like that, and there's a lot of fixed up houses. This house was like pretty much maintenance free on the outside, but on the inside it was stuck in the late 80s, and the basement was maybe in the 70s, but I digress on that. But anyway, with this home, it was it needed some fixing up. So I looked, and a lot of the homes that needed fixing up were kind of, listed in that, 250, 260 range. And the homes that were updated a lot, like totally new cabinets and flooring and repainted and everything like that, were selling for over 300. So, the conundrum was, do I put some money into this, fix it up a little bit and list it over 300, or do we, just sell it as is? So we decided to sell it as is. And, there were some things different about this one than some of the other homes, because it did have the attached garage versus a detached garage, and the lot was a lot bigger than many of the other ones in the area and things like that. But decided to list it at 265. Now, mind you, when I list a brand new house, that's usually over 600,000. When we list it, I'll get maybe one showing the first week, maybe two. So not a lot of activity, right? Well, this one, I definitely did some strategizing on it. I did a delayed listing and we did some things like that. So I delay listed it. I kind of pre-marketed it a little bit. We opened up showings on the Friday and said, submit your offers. We're not going to accept any offers till Monday evening at the latest. So we did that, email blasts and different things like that, social media, and I put it out there. And we had 26 showings over the 3 days on the house. And we had actually 7 offers. One, I just said, don't even bother submitting it. But because it was it wasn't even close, and an investor company. We didn't want to sell it to an investor. So anyway, I mean, they could have submitted it, but there was no chance. But yeah, so we got all these offers, right? And, you know, every single one was over asking price. And, you know, quick closing. And the other thing that was interesting as I looked at this is these are all like, other except for one, these were all very young buyers, families, you know, late 20-somethings trying to buy this home, and a single gal trying to buy it as well. And then I had one older couple in their 70s that was looking at it as well. So it was very interesting. You know, the bulk of the buyers were just trying to get their first house. And it's frustrating to see this many people in there. All had their pre-approvals. They had all their ducks in a row. They wrote great offers. Any single one of them, you know, could have and should have been able to get this house. And unfortunately, we can only sell it to one person. And it's just frustrating to see that and go, wow, you know, what's going on here? You know, we have all these qualified people that want to buy houses and they're all fighting over one house. And as I looked in MLS for this home, you know, there were 13 that were listed. Every single one had an offer. So when I listed this house, I literally had the only home for sale in that entire price point in Wauwatosa. And, you know, obviously pricing went up and we got well over asking for it. We did really well with it, of course. And, you know, it just made me think about the price discrepancy in housing, especially between existing homes and new homes. And some of the reasons why, right? This home was built in the 1950s. This was one of those post-World War II communities. And again, the land was flat and easy to build on. So that's one part of it. But you know, you look at how this thing is set up and these are all square blocks. And they just pop these things in a row. They're a little closer together. You know, there's maybe 10 feet apart or 12 feet apart between this building and the one next to it. So they're a lot closer together. They're closer to the road, you know, like 25-foot setback roughly. Maybe I think this one was 30. But, you know, you've got short setback, no sidewalks, which is interesting too, even though you're in a more urban area, no public sidewalks. So people, if they want to walk down the streets, they were fine. They lived. I mean, sewer and water, of course. Lots, again, pretty flat and simple. And then as far as the house, let's talk about the house for a minute. You know, you've got about 1,200 square feet, so not very big. Just a three-bedroom, rectangular shape, simple roof, lower roof pitch, not even a 612. Just basic number of windows. It was a 1.5 bath, so you got a full bath, you know, tub, shower combo, and then just a powder room. And, you know, little block basement, laundry room in the lower level, that kind of thing. So, I mean, it has everything that people need. Is it super sexy? Is there anything super frilly in it? No, there's no granite countertops. There was really basic flush doors and real basic casing and trim. And, yeah, not a whole lot of fills. There was a China buffet, actually, in the dining room, like built into the wall with some glass doors on it. And they had updated a few things. So the furnace and stuff like that was newer, some bow windows and things like that. But the inside was completely left in nearly original condition. And of course, our super sexy red shag carpet in the basement, which we loved. And I was really worried somebody wasn't going to buy the house because of that, but you can easily rip that out. Luckily, people could see that. So anyway, I digress. We've got this house that's pretty basic setup, right? And, you know, we basically have sold it for over $300,000 for it, but, you know, still $300,000 for a house. And then I look at, well, what could I build, you know, and what do I sell right now? And we're selling, you know, let's say a 2,000 square foot ranch, a community over in Waukesha. And, you know, it's got granite countertops and painted woodwork and, obviously brand new everything, of course, and then, you know, fiber cement siding and LVP floors and a gas fireplace and lots of windows and tile shower. I'm just like, there's so many things, right? This has obviously has a laundry room on the first floor, lots of other little upgrades, nicer faucets, of course, and nicer fixtures. Everything's new, of course. And that's $699. So, you know, you're going up, you know, 600 square feet roughly, but maybe 700 square feet. And then you've got, you know, the new stuff. And this is on a similar size lot, actually, believe it or not. Now, this is in a rural community, so it will have a well and septic. That's going to increase the cost. But still, you know, you're looking at $400,000 more for that. And, you know, we got to factor in tax rates, of course, because Milwaukee County taxes compared to this community, Waukesha County, they're well over double. So, you know, when you start to figure that in, you know, there's some other differences, but still, that's a lot of money, right? Like, you can only get qualified for a certain amount of money. And so, you know, it's just a huge discrepancy. And part of the thing with this particular new home that I have is I have to build it at 1,900 square feet because that was the minimum requirement. And I actually was trying to get 1,800 square feet in the subdivision, and the community really pushed back on it. And, you know, the problem is, like, a lot of times people are like, build more cheaper houses, and it's like, I can't. And it's the truth because you're not allowed to. And, you know, people want these taller roof pitches. This has got, you know, an A12 roof pitch on it and, you know, a lot more architecture on it. It's not just a rectangle. There's more things going on with it, some bump outs and different things, gables, all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, if we really want to get serious about building homes that younger people can afford, or starter homes, or just lower priced homes in general, we can take the people and the persons out of it. And we really got to start to look at what we did back in the day and start to replicate some of those things and start to pull back on some of these crazy things that we have to just have all the time, right? Again, putting these houses closer to together with the density, not putting sidewalks in, lowering the minimum, you know, 1,100 square feet, 1,200 square feet. And then we've got to make sacrifices as far as what we want and expect out of these homes. Maybe we've got to be okay with, you know, laminate countertops and vinyl floors again in the kitchen. And, yeah, maybe only the 1.5 bath versus the 2.5 bath. And all these things that we've just accepted as the minimum to make this happen. And this is really not a blame on anyone, because it's really going to be a team effort if people want to do this, right? I mean, the builders have to say, oh, you know what? Okay, we're not putting granite in this thing. We're not going to put these super crazy cabinets with all the doodads in it. We're going to just put a basic window design in. We're going to cut out some of these angles in the house and just build it really simply. Not to mean that we're building it poorly. It's just we're using more cost-effective things. And then I think there's an onus on the municipality, that the municipality's got to look at this and say, okay, you know what? If we want affordable housing in here, we got to get rid of the sidewalks. We got to stop telling you that you got to put the house 75 feet back. We've got to stop making you have, you know, 20-foot side setbacks. Because again, you know, if you can take and make that 10-foot even on either side, and now you're saving 20 feet per lot, you know, over a longer stretch, you're going to pick up quite a few more lots. More lots reduces your land cost, reduces your development cost, and reduces the house cost dramatically. Those things have huge effects. No doubt making the house smaller is going to have huge effects as well. And of course, you make the house smaller, that can also make the lot a little smaller, and all these things start to come together. And again, you get rid of the public sidewalks. You know, you have a shorter driveway instead of a, you know, 50-foot driveway, you've got a 25-foot driveway. That's reducing your cost tremendously. There's a lot that can be done. But that being said, even still, you do all that and you put all the basic stuff in. Of course, the consumer's got to be willing to buy it. And even if you do all that, I'm not certain that you would even get close to 300. I know you wouldn't. I don't even know if you get close to 400, at least in my market. Maybe 450, possibly. But things are just so expensive these days, the labor cost, the material cost, that there's just this baked-in discrepancy in the price. Now, you factor in the other things, right? You factor in the remodel costs and the updating that needs to happen on the home. And almost everybody that buys an older home like this is going to sink some sort of money into it right away. Let's be honest. That happens all the time. So that actually will narrow the gap further. But yeah, it's really going to be difficult to get to that price point. But there are ways to start making progress. And we've made very little progress over the last decade here on going backwards and going back down to these smaller homes. So I think there needs to be an awareness of getting back to that 1950s sort of housing boom mentality of, well, let's build the block of houses as fast as we can, get them up, get them cost effective, and get them ready to go for families that need them. And that's really what we need to get back to. And both builders, municipalities, and all those kind of things. So let's talk just briefly about a few stats that I pulled up too. This is interesting to really hammer this home. So Wisconsin Realtors Association just posted some stats for May of 2023 compared to 22. Sales are down 21%. So there's, you know, quite a few less house sales over the past year. But here's the thing, and this is what really drives this home. The average sale price is up almost 8%, 7.9% from the same period. So we have sales going down, you know, 20% plus, and the pricing going up almost 8%. And that what that's telling you is that there just is not enough product on the market, because there's the prices are going up because there just isn't enough stuff out there. There's demand, and the number of sales are going down because there just isn't enough people willing to let loose their homes. This is further evidenced by the 2.8 months of inventory on the market, which again, 5 to 6 months is normal and healthy. So we're well below that. So that definitely reinforces what I'm talking about here. And then they looked at building permits, and those are down 25% year over year. So we're not even building as many houses as were the previous years, because again, these new houses are quite a bit more expensive. And then they looked at the housing affordability index, and year over year, it went from 152 back in May of 2022 to 133. Again, you have prices of houses going up, and then you have mortgage rates quite a bit higher than a year ago. That's really hit the affordability index pretty hard. But here's the positive. That sounds all kind of depressing, right? But here's the positive. If you've owned a house, if you already owned a house, and let's say you decided to buy one in 2012, 10 years ago, roughly. There's a study out there from MLS, actually, that says that there's over $100,000 in equity created in the last decade. So if you bought a house, it's likely worth $100,000 more than you bought it back in 2012. Or if you owned it for 10 years, you've gotten $100,000 in equity. That's money you've made. That's money that you've earned. If you turn around and sell that house today, in many cases, they actually said it's almost $122,000. That's, I mean, like $12,000 a year and just making money on your home. That's like one of the best investments you ever have. It's the only one that you can use and then get a 12% return on. That's pretty crazy. And here's the other shocking stat. The new average sales price in MLS is $405,632 here in Wisconsin. $405,000. It wasn't that long ago that it was like $225,000, and it just kept climbing and climbing. Now we're at $405,000. So what this is saying is that, you know, the gap is closing. And you can see that when people are paying way over for homes under, you know, $350,000, $400,000, when they're paying over asking price just to get them, you know, that'll keep raising that average shelf price up. Meanwhile, new houses, you know, kind of cost what they cost. So those aren't really going up quite as fast. Lumber stabilized and things like that. But you still have this pretty big discrepancy. And it's due to a lot of reasons, right? It's due to the codes and the requirements we have to build these homes. It's due to buyer preferences. It's due to builders stuck in their ways. So everybody's kind of to blame for it. But really the point of this episode is just to put it out there and say, listen, guys, we've got to start to do something about this because this is not going to get better on its own. It's not going to fix itself. We've got to start to do some hard work. We got to create some awareness and say, look, we've got to get back to basics. We've got a huge discrepancy problem. We have more buyers than homes in certain price points. And we've made the cost to build a new home way too expensive. So we all got to take a look at ourselves in the mirror and say, what can we do to fix the problem? And I think if we do that, we can make a big difference.
Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Bellman Home Studio. If you haven't already, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Until next time, I'm David Bellman, signing off.